Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that brings together well-known friends to answer three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. And this week, we're joined by two of British television's most entertaining and unfiltered women. To my left, she has been known to literally have me doubled up, laughing my socks off. And that's just from her Instagram post. It's 2010's Big Brother winner. She's a property developer and she's also a mum to Reggie. It's Josie Gibson. Oh, hello, my lover.
You. Thank you very much.
I don't even know how a brain functions to edit something before it comes out your mouth in the first place. It's weird, isn't it? Anybody that can think about what they're saying before it comes out.
To my right, with Josie, is a friend who shares many of her qualities, a woman who speaks her mind and has transformed herself, in my opinion, from a bikini-clad Love Island contestant back in 2016 to a mental health activist. It is really lovely to have you here today, Marlene Anderson. Thank you.
Don't try and hide your emotions. Don't try and just run away and numb your pain with other things and distract your attention. Ride out the pain. Because then you'll heal yourself. When you learn to like actually feel your emotion, you'll start to heal.
I got in touch with you, Jose.
Yeah.
Because we've got lots of mutual friends.
Yeah.
I said, I really want you to come on the podcast. Come on the podcast. And you said you'd love to come on with Marlene. Oh. And then I just met you both in reception. and you two have been friends for a long time now, but had never met in real life.
But we feel like we've been known. I just said to her, I feel like I've known you for years.
I can't believe. She's the same. So how did you meet? Was it Instagram?
It was Instagram, surely. I think
was
I followed
Twitter
you friends anyway.
Instagram? Yeah, and we just started messaging each other.
Yeah. When did we followed you during your pregnancy, and then I followed you from that, and then I commented on you because you were hilarious. You're just so
She's so freaking funny.
Yeah, and we were talking about it the whole way through because you were, how long were you before me?
Oh my God, then I was premature, wasn't I, too?
Yeah.
33, and you were premature and I was asking questions.
Yeah.
And da-da-da.
Yeah.
No, that was it.
So this kind of sisterly support developed through direct messaging. You've never actually physically spoken to each other.
No.
I watch all her videos. I knew she had a really deep voice.
I love this. It's a thoroughly modern friendship, lady.
Yeah, I know, it is.
I love her.
But it seems to me like you've talked about a lot of really important stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, definitely. But
I think when you get pregnant, you join like that sisterhood, don't you?
Yeah, 100%.
And so, yeah, we kept sharing information. Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that over the last year, you've both had really awful times of it. Yeah. And I wondered how you've dealt with that. So what have been the tools that have got you through these enormous difficulties? And what role has your friendship played in helping each other through that?
So when baby Consi passed away, I think it was...
This is your daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Consi is named after your mum.
Yeah, that's why I call her baby Consi, because then people are like, which Consi? And I'm like, oh, they're both dead.
Consi, oh, mum, I'm sorry.
That's what we do.
I'm sorry to say, I'm laughing again. I get so awkward. And I just,
well, don't know what else to do. It's how you deal with it. And it's like,
well, yeah, there's no wrong way of dealing with it. And I think a lot of people laugh out of a sense of like,
at the funeral,
not knowing what else to do.
I gave a speech and I started laughing. And I was like, and I was like, wow, like, I don't know what to, you know, but I want to speak about it. So the only way of me not crying is by like laughing. And,
So Consi was named after your mum.
Yeah.
Let's go right back to the beginning. So you were born to two parents. Your dad died before your first birthday.
Yeah, correct.
From cancer.
Yeah, skin cancer, that's it.
And then, so you and your mum were incredibly close.
Yeah, massively, yeah.
And your mum died how many months ago?
So about a year and a bit ago now. And, she had breast cancer 15 years ago. She was all clear for 15 years. And then just after I came out of Love Island, it spread to her other breast. And, you know, she had the operation. And at this point, like, it was all a whirlwind for me. And so I stopped working properly after, you know, the work that I should have done after Love Island, you know, like, oh, yeah, just milking every opportunity. That kind of faded for me because I was more concerned about my mum.
Quite right.
And then she had her breast removed and it was all good. But the whole time that they didn't know that it was actually just spread into her stomach. So she literally got taken within a month or two. And so I was there the whole time. You know, I watched, I was by her side. I was a sole carer. I like literally just watched her pass away, especially like the
final. You're an only child?
No, I've got two brothers and a sister. One lives in America. Other brother lives in London. And my sister, you know, she's got her own family and stuff. And we all kind of came together for like her last month or so. And it was sad because this is like, we're in our family home and, you know, that just kind of got taken apart really quickly. And I did have a stepdad, but he disowned us about 2 months after my mum had passed away. He met a new woman and that was really hard for me.
Gosh.
Because he'd been in my life for 25 years.
Wow.
You know, so that was really difficult. So I've gone from living with my mum, having a family home where we spend Christmas, etc. And me, when I'm like sad, going into my mum's bed, you know, to just disappearing and me having to like grow the fuck up and getting my own place and being alone. And shortly, I met a guy, the father of my daughter, Consi. And I mean, that was a pretty toxic relationship. It was up and down. It wasn't healthy. And I became pregnant quite quickly. And that was within 3 months of my mum passing away. So my head wasn't even there, you know. I wasn't stable enough. And I thought, oh, okay, good. Pregnant, you know, I've got my own family now. This is it.
Yeah.
And I tried to make things work purely because I was pregnant. And then, gosh, then things just went weird for, 33 weeks? She stopped moving inside me, you know, and I was just like, what is going on? It can't be happening to me. And
what did the doctor say at that point?
You need to have an emergency C-section, like within 4 to 5 minutes. And I didn't have a clue what was going on because my pregnancy was absolutely fine. It was perfect, you know. Nothing was picked up. It was all cool. And then she came early. And before I knew it, I was living at Great Ormond Street in their parents' accommodation. And I was there for a month. And each day was literally like up and down. The NICU was just crazy. It was just madness. The whole thing was just...
You were never able to hold her, were you?
No,
because
not
she was
at all.
In...
And I was too scared to touch her as well. Because the wires and everything. And in my head, I think at the time, I was slowly collecting tablets, by the way. Like thinking, if she's going to go, fuck, I'm going too. Because I was like, what else have I got to live for here? I haven't got like a family to go back to, you know, kind of thing. And each day it was like a roller coaster. Oh, she's fine, she's making progress. And the next day she wasn't. And she was here to teach me a reason. And that's what I was trying to get at. Like my spirituality just came out of kind of nowhere when my mom died, you know. I could feel my mom around me, supporting me. And I was definitely like, my baby came here for a reason. She might not have been here for long, but she's taught me something. And then, I mean, when she passed away, I was like, oh God, I locked myself away for about 3 weeks. I just drank wine on my own every night. I didn't want to speak to anybody.
She was 4 weeks old when she passed
away. Yeah, she was 4 weeks old, exactly a month. So The funeral was hard because that was weird in itself. It was a beautiful moment where we all wore white and we had doves released and stuff, but it was so sad. And I was thinking to my head, why did I have to bury another Consi? Why did I even call her Consi, you know? And I felt sorry for myself for a few weeks, as you do. But then I thought, okay, what did you learn from your mum going? You need to take this strength, take whatever you can from it and use it as a positive. And I was kind of just sat there and I was like, right, you need to get up, wake up and let's do something. Don't try and hide your emotions. Don't try and just run away and numb your pain with other things and distract your attention. Ride out the pain, because then you'll heal yourself. When you learn to like actually feel your emotion, you'll start to heal. Surround
I'm
yourself.
I'm a big believer in that, yeah. You know. I think, well, you know, for me, I mean, I've never been through anything like that level of loss. But I know that when something's going to hurt, I don't drink wine.
Yeah.
I don't fall back on anything. I just feel the pain.
Yeah.
Because I know it's coming.
Yeah.
And you've got to squint your eyes shut, roll your fingers into fists and just get through it.
Definitely.
And it will make you stronger.
Yeah, 100%.
It will.
Exactly. And I mean,
it's
just,
not easy.
It's not. And I remember just feeling so lonely. I had a new apartment. Her room was empty, had all the baby's crap in, and I got my sister to remove it. And I was just sat there, and it's like, nice apartment, thinking, none of this means anything to me when I'm here on my own.
And then, Marlon, you were saying off mic, Josie's been sending you video messages every day.
So after it happened, Josie reached out to me and was like, Marlon, like, you probably don't want to speak to anyone. And in fact, I wasn't talking to anybody at all. And I think I was reading her messages and it was just probably saying scene on her end, you know. And she was like, but I'm going to send you these videos anyway. And so there were just video messages from random people, celebrities, just offering words of courage, support. And she was sending to me and they actually made such a difference.
And then
I started to respond and I was like, I don't know what to do. And she was just giving me support, which was like very, very much needed at the time.
Yeah.
And no one else really knew what to say to me. And she goes, but she just put herself out there and was like, here. Like, here's some, like,
strange, words. Isn't it? When the most awful things happen to people, quite often no one knows what to say, so they say nothing.
Yeah.
And
she didn't give up this one.
Well, I just cried so much for you. Because we were sharing our story the whole way through. And then I messaged you, didn't I? And then I didn't sleep for two nights. I was so upset for you. So it was like, it was you don't know what to say, do you? You just don't know what to say. Well, but how good was Steve-O's, though?
Oh, no, amazing. That's what I remember.
You know Steve-O, Batman?
The madman, Steve-O, the madman.
He's really funny. He follows his family. He's like an internet sensation.
Right.
And he is really lovely. And he did a video for Malin and it was just the best, wasn't it?
So, Jess, you would go around and ask just
Charlotte
anybody.
Crosby, there's been loads of them, haven't
there? Anybody that you came across, you would ask them to record a message of encouragement for Marlon?
Well, yeah, I just messaged everybody, because social media is quite powerful. But how lovely was Kim Marsh?
Yeah, Kim Marsh, you had Fern McCann, everybody. I was like, good girl.
Yeah. Because Kim Marsh,
was
obviously...
Yeah, that was quite intense.
Well, she had a not dissimilar experience.
Yeah. And I think the biggest form of therapy was me waking up one day going, hold on a minute, I can either just... try and do something that's positive, learn from my suffering and use the pain and suffering that I've had and let me help somebody else. So I collected everything that I'd gone through, and I remember writing everything down that I'd been through in my life, whether it being eating disorders, body image, abusive relationships, toxic crap, you know, grief, you know, anything horrible. And I was just thinking, let me use all of this pain and suffering that I've been through and let me try and reach out to people and let me help them now. Instead of just promoting some shitty whitening toothpaste and trying to hold on to some Insta-famous career, which is just, let's be honest, going to die down after another year when the new Love One comes out. And I've kind of done it, and that's been the biggest part of therapy and healing for me, by helping other people.
And you see this a lot with people that have suffered extreme loss, that they have to turn that into a positive.
Yeah.
And this is the app that you're launching. You've got a new app that is fundamentally there to help anybody with any kind of mental health issues.
It's like a self-help Bible. Instantly.
And it's kind of a team of counselling experts in your hand.
Yeah, pretty much.
Marlon, God, you are, isn't she? I mean...
Oh, she's amazing. She's absolutely amazing.
How old are you?
26.
You are something else.
Don't, I'll stop crying now. I'm going to stop laughing.
You've done so well. Now you're amazing.
Seriously, I have no idea where your wisdom and your courage comes from.
I come in and we were exchanging stories and I was like, oh, this has happened, that has happened. She said, do you know what, Josie, you need to look at the positives. And I thought, that's coming from Alan Anderson. I've been through so much. And I just felt, I was just like, oh.
Yeah, you're right.
Jose, you've had a... Well, a shit year. Let's just call it...
Yeah, but how can I say that? You know, when Malin's been through all that...
But as I said, everybody
know,
else has had that. Everyone has their own individual experience.
Yeah.
What I love about you two, though, is you talk about Reggie in front of Malin. Like, yeah. And we're not tiptoeing around the fact that Conzi isn't here.
Yeah.
And I hope that's okay,
no, I prefer
Malin.
That, though, because...
I don't want to rub parenthood in your face, because that would feel like so much salt in a wound if that's what it feels like. But I love how real you are, Jose, and I can't imagine that reaching out to somebody that you've never met before during the most difficult times that she's been through was easy. But I bet it meant the world to you. Yeah, 100%.
No one else did. Like,
really?
My friends were like, I'm here if you want to talk. But she actually went out of her way to get like meaningful messages, which I could resonate with, especially like the Kim Marsh bits and even the words you were saying to me. And that for me is a lot.
You know, I kept looking at Reg and I was like, this isn't, you know, it ain't right. It's not ever right that someone should ever go through that, ever. But I just don't. I keep looking at you and you're so strong and you just talk about it with so much strength. And I just think, how do you do it? Like, I'm in awe, really. I'm really in awe.
But you know what? I know your story and you are made of pretty strong stuff too, Josie Gibson.
Oh, thanks.
You are.
Thank you.
And that little boy is so lucky to have you as his mum, because I know this last year has not been a walk in the park for you two.
No, yeah. But I mean, you know, I can't grumble, but no, it's been difficult. Well, as you know yourself, it is a juggling act, isn't it? But
being a single parent,
yeah, is a real juggling act.
But that came pretty soon into your parenting experience.
Yeah, so he's 3 months. And then, but the thing is, I was in a relationship and I've known him since I was 14 years old. So he was friends with my family. So I thought, yeah, this is the one now. This is all good. And as soon as I got pregnant, he started going on about my weight and stuff all the time.
Your weight?
Yeah. Like, I remember I counted on my phone and he put on my weight 18 times and it wasn't even 2 o'clock.
What?
Yeah, it wasn't even 2 o'clock. So I was like...
You yeah. What?
Yeah, I mean, I did... I
What's
did
this man's name?
Well, yeah. I better not say his name, but yeah, he's... He knows himself, he's been out of order, but I can't come here and slag him off because he's not here to defend himself, really. No. And I've realised now I'm not with him, I will never, ever, ever settle for a bloke that's not my biggest cheerleader. I don't need this.
I had that similar too.
What?
And then he cheated on me when I was two months pregnant with his ex.
I disgusting.
Always got comparing it to other women and stuff. And that for me was weird.
Where do you find these guys? Where do you find these guys?
Do you know what I read the other day? Apparently, we keep running into that kind of same relationship. It's because we haven't learned a lesson about ourselves yet.
Yeah.
And once we learn that lesson, we won't choose these same guys again. So what we do need to get is our self-love back.
Yeah.
And then we'll start meeting people that are on the same kind of scale as us.
So, Joseph, I'm 3 months into to being a parent. You're popping hormones all over the place. You're sleep deprived.
Oh, yeah.
You're on your ass is probably the best way to describe it, right?
Yeah.
Physically and emotionally. And you know, I've been there.
And the thing is, we come back from the hospital and he didn't even come in the house. He slept in the camper van in the garden. He'd never come in.
Why?
Because he needs to sleep. So I got up for all the night feed. So it was slowly like, you know, it was a build up of things. And then for Christmas, he was like, right, we're going to have the best Christmas ever. And he kept going on about Christmas, our first Christmas, you know, with the Reg and that. So I was gearing it right up. So I organised him a skiing holiday, right, with all of his friends. And it come Christmas morning, I got all the food in, been preparing it. I've given this skiing holiday. So I sat there and I went, where's mine? He got me nothing. Not even a card from Reg. Nothing. And it was our first Christmas.
What was his reason for it?
Oh, he fitted my wing mirror 3 weeks ago and he thought that was my Christmas present and he didn't know what to get me. So, and I've given this skiing holiday. So I was that... started it again, and then I spent 4 days cooking Christmas dinner, like getting it all in, preparing it. I spent 4 days cleaning up, and then he went to me, you haven't even buffed the sides. I thought, do you know what?
You haven't even what?
Buffed the sides.
But your sideboards?
I said, buff your own bloody sides. And then he started moaning about my shoes in the hallway, and I thought, do you know what? This is it now. I said, if you don't like it, pack our stuff, we will go. And he packed up all our stuff in black bags and took it to a house I rent out. I didn't think he'd actually do it.
Yeah.
So you were living in his, was it his place, yeah. Your place, your jointly owned?
I was living in his place, but I'll never, ever, ever live in a place that belongs to somebody else again. No. I'll always live.
Happened to me too.
Really?
Yeah, when he cheated on me. Because my mum's house was going up for sale and it was like empty. So I was living at his whilst I was pregnant. And then when I found out he cheated on me, I was pregnant at the time, and he was like, "Well, I'll just put all your stuff at your mum's end. Go to your mum." So actually, he went to
your mum had just passed away.
Yeah, her house. This was probably about 3 months prior.
Yeah, that's
so I was actually living at my mum's on my own. With my everything was bin bagged in the conservatory.
Pregnant,
yeah,
cheated
pregnant,
on.
And he'd gone on holiday with his ex.
No, to Jamaica, we never.
Yes,
what you actually went on when you were pregnant?
Yeah,
sicko.
How is it now trying to work it out as parents?
Absolutely,
is he involved?
Nightmare. He's decided he don't want anything to do with him this week. So it was like, you know, you
can't... This week?
Yeah, so you can't just, like, pick and choose.
No.
But, yeah, so I've got to just... I don't know. I would like him in Reggie's life, but if he's going to be aggressive and everything like he is, there's no point. I just got to walk away. But it's hard, isn't it? Because I grew up without a dad, and I like a dad in my son's life.
Oh, my gosh.
So you make excuses for it when there's really no excuses for it.
No. I always find a good way to advise yourself is to ask what advice you'd give a girlfriend going through exactly the same experience. And what would you say to your girlfriend that was going out with a guy like that and had a small child with him?
There's unforgivable. Even a health visit returned around and went, it's inhumane. Like, it's unforgivable. Yeah. But I can forgive, but I cannot ever forget. And that is the thing, isn't it? You just always have that there.
His loss, babe.
Oh yeah, well, I hope so.
Yeah, but no, he's done that to you. He's reduced her self worth.
You and that beautiful boy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, lucky enough, Reggie hasn't been too affected. That is a lucky thing.
Yeah,
you know, he's so happy. He's so happy all the time. And I just think, thank the Lord, like he's not happy. But I can't. That's why I've got to really keep my distance, because I don't want it to affect his lovely personality. Because he is a lovely little boy.
Of course he is.
Yeah. He just, you've got to try and make him not smile. He's one of them. Oh. So he's like, yeah.
Oh, gosh, you too.
No wonder we're mates.
No, I just want to hug you both and tell you it's all going to be okay.
I've been the most lonely and the saddest I've been, but I've also been the most content and happy I've ever been.
Same.
Do you know what I mean?
I can totally identify
exactly
with that.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
So weird.
Yeah. What do you think you've learned about yourselves in the last 12 months?
Resilience, I think, and some kind of weird strength.
Yeah.
I think I've learned that I'm a crazy bitch. I feel like I'm... Do you know what? I actually think that I can get a bit crazy, but I think I'm a decent human being. I think I'm quite a nice girl. And do you know what? I'm quite a laugh. I'm good. I can be the best girlfriend you could ever, and the best friend you could ever have. But I've learned that, you know, don't cross me. And I've learned that I want somebody to give me what I can give them.
Absolutely. A partner.
Yeah. But it's hard to come by.
You say it like with more reassurance, like, not I think, because I am a good girl. Yeah. I do deserve this. And then you start believing it.
Jessie, I know far too many of my mates that know you and think the world of you. I have never heard a bad word.
Are you joking?
About you.
No, I never have either.
And
oh, no way.
You know what? You're like 100,000 sprinkles. You are.
That's nice.
You are. And you don't look back because you're too busy looking at a bright future.
Yeah. And do you know what? I got my bloke. I got Reg. He's like my man. Yeah. So I feel like I feel like I've found him. Do you know?
Oh,
shut up. I love you, Josie Gibson.
I'm cheese on toast, aren't I? I'm cheese on toast.
No, with 100,000 sprinkles on top.
He's my bloke. That's how I feel.
Ready for another question?
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Do you want a glass
of wine?
I forgot,
are you asking questions?
Yeah,
we've just been talking our heads off. She's good at getting it out of us. I don't think we need the wine, Kate.
Well, you're having it. So question number two. You two met on the internet.
Yeah.
Through Instagram and Twitter. If you were in charge of social media, what rules would you put into the community guidelines to make social media a more friendly and mentally healthy place?
Oh, gosh. I'd put no Photoshop in.
Yeah, no airbrushing. Get rid of the likes for a start.
Get rid of the likes.
That just defines your self-worth instantly.
They're beta testing that at the moment. I'm really encouraged by that.
100%.
Oh, well, actual lights, because I do like to get in front of a nice window.
No, lights.
No. I love you.
Oh, Josie.
No, you know that.
Likes, you know, as in
a heart. Likes. Oh,
yeah. But yeah, sorry. I do like a good light.
To get in front of a window. I'm like, what?
Sorry about that.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Likes.
Oh, get rid of the likes. Oh, I quite like the likes.
Do you?
Yeah.
You look at someone else's picture going, hold on, she's got 10,000, I've got 5,000. Does that mean I'm not good enough? Or?
Oh, really? But, I don't ever look at anyone else's. I just look at mine all the time. I'm so self-absorbed.
But you still see your own, I think. I think you still see your own, I think. That's what they were trying to do. But you can't see nobody else can see them.
Oh, right, I see.
Is it because we live in a society that people believe that social media makes us constantly compare and contrast?
100%, yeah.
And, oh, look what they've got and that I haven't.
Yeah.
And that it's making social media a mentally negative place for people to spend time. And I think, you know, it would be great if that were less so.
Do you know our brains aren't actually meant to be absorbing other people's lives as much, their stories? There was like a test from it. We were constantly looking at everybody else's story, constantly, comparing it to our own life. It's actually depressed, like making us depressed.
Yeah, I can really get that. We had a guest on recently, Emma Gannon, who does a podcast about people's relationships with the internet. And she said, we're not meant to have a window into so many people's worlds.
Yeah, we're not.
And when you think of it like that,
I feel so weird because I don't hardly ever look at anybody else's stuff.
That's good.
But that's great, Jo.
That's really good.
So, yeah, but you know what? You're time poor for a start. Yeah, you've got no time at the moment. You're the young mum. You haven't got time to be sat there scrolling through people's nonsense. You're just doing what you need to do, and you're using it as a tool to communicate with people. Like, you've formed friendships. I think you've used Instagram and Twitter in a really healthy way to form this friendship. Yeah. That's lovely.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the kind of connections that social media should be making. Mm-hmm.
And I like to find out stuff. So if I like, I know it sounds ridiculous, but if I need to buy a Hoover or anything like that, I'll just have a little tweet. Hello, anybody know the best Hoover to get? Hoping that they might send me one.
For free.
Oh, anyone know anything about...
That's what happened to me. It's my veneer fell out. And he's done this, want to fix my veneer on for free.
Anybody know anything about stand-up paddleboards? Because I really need one.
A stand-up paddleboard?
Yeah, like it's all like things like that I put on.
Yeah. Why are you wanting a stand-up paddleboard, Joe? You live in Bristol.
Oh, what? We got the Bath...
What?
Canal.
Oh, you're going to do it on the canal?
Yeah, the Avon and Wyatt Canal, yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah,
excellent work.
And I've been in quite a few places stand-up paddleboard in.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Good
but I just put things like that on there, and then if nobody gives me one for free, then obviously they tell me the best one to get.
Yeah, so you're still a winner.
Yeah, so everyone's a winner, baby. And that's what I like about it. I always find out the best things. I always find out...
So you don't have a negative time on social media?
No, and I even love the haters. I love a hater.
The trolling isn't good, though. Especially when they're, like, sick weirdos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you probably get a few sickies, don't you?
Yeah. I got an account on my door.
You are joking.
This is a real baby Concy Anderson. It was, like, really weird. Like, the Daily Mail picks up and I'm like, what do you have to say about this? I was like, I don't actually know. Whoever it is sicko. That's what I mean by, like, really sick.
That is sick.
The trolling can get so weird and intense. And the comments, like, they think they know you.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had that as an experience online, but I know plenty of people that have.
Don't get me wrong, social media used to make me, like, cry my eyes out when I first...
Yeah, because... Same here.
They were all calling me the fat beach whale, you're disgusting.
Yeah. This, who?
That. Well, it wasn't like it was. When we first had a Twitter account, then I don't think there's hardly as much hate on social media now as there was.
Really?
It's died down. For me,
do you think so?
Yeah. Good. I used to be really, really trolled. You're fat. Same. You're this. You're ugly. You're this. But now I turn it round. I love a hater now.
Do you? What do you do with them?
Well, I just think you're doing something right if you get a hater.
Why?
Because you know they wouldn't be if it's when they don't comment that's a problem.
Is it?
Yeah. You know if
means they're interested.
At least they're on your mind. I think. Well, you might be hating on me, but you're thinking of me.
That's true. It's a really good way of looking at it, actually.
Do you follow James Blunt?
I love James Blunt.
He's
brilliant.
He annihilates all of the hate. with the, and he just is brilliant with it. He kills it with comedy, and it's very funny. Have a look at his account.
Best account ever. Did you see him when he got that hate and he went, "And my mortgage is paid. How are you doing?"
Yeah, exactly. He's fantastic. He's fantastic.
Really good.
Yes, I like his approach because he does it all with his tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
So what would you change about social media, Joes, to make it a healthier place for people to communicate?
A healthier place for people to communicate. To be honest, from my perspective of social media now, I'd say it's quite a healthy place, is it not? I know that, like, you've had that sicko, and you it's like the world, isn't it? You'll always find a few sickos and a few saddos. But I would say now, if I look at my Instagram, all the comments are so lovely. My social media is a really uplifting place for me. Yeah, I love to go on there.
That's my experience. I have to say, of Instagram particularly, I find it a really nice community, actually.
Yeah, but do you know what it's for others, though? When you're thinking about younger girls now, what I would change is the influencers are allowed to, you know, trying to sell a tea that's a laxative.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or trying to sell bullshit, like commercialised products, which don't work. They're actually dangerous. Also, when you're creating an account, you should have like your ID uploaded or something so you can filter out the trolls a bit better or something like that. But just these influencers that are promoting things that really aren't healthy for you. Influencers.
Yeah.
You know, that's unhealthy, especially with younger girls, the airbrushing, as you said, the ideal image of a girl in a bikini. And that's what people are striving to be now. So the generation are wanting to just be a social media influencer, and it's really sad.
Well, I mean, will it even be a thing in 5 years' time? Probably not.
When you see a picture, you buy into this dream, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
I mean, I've seen a few of them in there thinking, well, that's a nice bikini. And you think, well, she's probably about a size two. Probably won't look the same. But I think people are slowly getting more real with it.
Well, you both are. You've both posted bikini shots. Yeah. Where you highlight the fact that you have a postpartum body with scars that you're not hiding.
Certain people would never do that in a million years.
No.
Like they would. No way. Their work would slow down. You know, they'd lose this kind of image of themselves that they are. And there are a lot of people trapped in it still.
Do you think so?
Yeah, definitely.
The stride should be perfect.
Yeah. Did you see recently the mannequin in the night store?
Yeah,
I saw that.
Of a much larger female figure. And I was talking to a friend about this, and she was so elated to see it in there. And she said, "Do you know what it's like to live in a world where you don't see yourself anywhere?"
Wow.
Yeah. And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "You know, when you walk into a shop, I mean, I've always been a size 10, 12, maybe an 8, back in the day. You know, I'm represented. I can get clothes in pretty much my size in most stores. But what if you can't? What if you are not represented? Then automatically that makes you feel like you don't belong, doesn't it? Yeah. That you're not part of what is an acceptable community. I don't know.
And that's why I love Instagram as well, because there's all this, and I've always struggled with my weight. I've always been a big girl. I've been every single size. But what I love about Instagram is you've got these really sexy, curvier women, and they're showing people how to dress, and they're helping people how to dress as well. And I look at them and I do think they're really, really sexy. And I think it's slowly, it is becoming...
Absolutely. I mean, look, you know, you look at somebody... I mean, I remember feeling, you know, really quite hopeful when I saw women like Jennifer Lopez and Beyonce being celebrated, because they had hips and bums. And, I mean, yes, I mean, it's almost become cartoonesque now with the Kardashian kind of vavooms. But, you know, and, you know, no judgment. If that makes you happy, great. But when I was growing up, there was... Yeah. All I saw were women that were as thin as they possibly could be.
Yeah,
and I ended up with anorexia and bulimia and, you know, I mean, I wrecked myself trying to become something I could never be. Never been more unhappy at my smallest.
Same.
And then I realised, you know what? I'm getting this all back to front.
Yeah.
The best part of my body is my brain.
Yeah.
And I'm going to rewire it, and I'm going to reboot it, and I'm going to make it the thing that I celebrate. And we have no scales in my house. We don't diet.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Oh, I don't know what I'd do without a pair of scales.
No, but Joes, get rid of them.
Do you know what? Oh. When you stop thinking about it and weighing yourself, and then it kind of falls into place. Mm. And you stop thinking about what you're eating as much. And your body just goes into tune with itself.
Yep.
And it's called intuitive eating.
Just listen to your body.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Just listen to your...
When you're hungry,
listen to my body. I would be... I'm a big girl now. I've been 20 stone.
You're not a big girl, Josie.
I've got up and down with it, but...
You've just had a baby?
Yeah, I keep telling myself that.
9 months off?
Yeah.
9 months off.
It was only £4, but...
The more you think about dieting, the more you're going to be obsessive with it, and then the more you're going to want to binge after you're restricting yourself. It just becomes a really unhealthy pattern.
Right, okay. I'm going to reframe it for you another way.
Go on.
Do you think that anyone ever asked Florence Nightingale how much she weighed? Or Margaret Thatcher or the Queen?
Very true.
Right? Why are you measuring yourself on the inches of your waist and the... I don't get it. Measure yourself on the size of your heart and your brain.
Yeah.
And then that makes you, Jose, just one of the most beautiful, well-proportioned women you could ever hope to meet.
I will say, I do get a lot more... I get chatted up a lot more when I'm bigger than when I was smaller. How weird is that?
Well, because you're probably happy.
Yeah, I think that's maybe what it is.
So that's not weird. Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you're giving out great energy and pheromones.
Yeah.
But when I was thinner, I did feel like Pamela Anderson mind. I literally didn't wear clothes all the time. I used to walk around. I used to walk because I'd never been slim. So I used to walk around all the
time. Did it make you happy?
Yeah, it did make me. Yeah, because I'd never been slim.
Yeah.
So for the first time for a very long time, I feel sexy now.
Good.
But I did feel really sexy then. But then after you have a baby, you feel horrible. I felt horrible anyway.
Yeah, but I don't. I feel the opposite. I look at my body and think, wow, like, after all the years struggling and wanting to be skinny and try and compete with everybody else, I'm looking at myself in the mirror thinking, wow, okay, I carried life in it. It's the most beautiful thing ever. I can't change the way my stomach is anymore. And I've never, ever been as content as I am, ever.
That's so really lovely to hear, Marlon.
It's weird. I appreciate my body, and I appreciate what it did for me. But after I had a baby, I just felt the most unsexiest I've ever felt in all my life. But like, I felt gross.
I'm not being funny, but so you were with somebody that was
mentioning
your weight 20 times before lunch.
But it's only been like recently I started to feel sexy again.
Because you got rid of him.
Yeah, maybe.
You lost a load of weight there.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Right, last question, ladies. You are both unapologetically outspoken. which I love. Yes. But when has straight talking got you into big trouble?
I always put my foot in it all the time, all the time.
Yeah, I do too.
Do you?
All the time.
I'm just looking at your, like, one of your most recent posts, Jose, which is brilliant. Can I do it in your accent?
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for a jumpsuit. Loving Dorothy Perkins jumpsuits because I'm tall and they don't seem to ride up my Mary. I just love you.
Oh, I can't believe anyone calls it a Mary.
Where did you get this stuff from?
I've grown up with calling it a Mary.
What? Yeah, it's quite a Bristol thing, a Mary.
Oh, is it? Yeah. So everyone's like, Mary, ha 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 ha. And I was like, I don't understand what's funny. Everyone's got a Mary, but I honestly thought everyone called it a Mary.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I digress. When has straight talking got you into trouble?
When a straight talking got me into trouble? I mean, I've pulled a few jokes on Instagram and they've got me into trouble. You shouldn't joke about Rosemary and Fred West. But
No,
I did. And it got me into a lot of trouble. That got me into trouble. And that, I suppose that was me showing a bit of how sick my humour could be. But I wasn't saying, oh, Rosemary and Fred West were brilliant. I was saying if the people playing them were brilliant.
Oh, in the drama about Fred and Rose West.
No, it was like these two and they were doing a comedy act and one was Rose and one was Fred.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and I thought they were brilliant, but apparently, you know, it's not a good thing to joke about. So I think I've made jokes that sometimes have gone a bit past the line.
Yeah.
And Ricky Gervais says this all the time, it is comedy. So
it's subjective.
It's subjective, yeah, so it's very difficult. So I think my humour, maybe I've got me in trouble on social media, but it's, you know.
What about in a relationship?
Oh, yeah, that's got me in loads of trouble all the time, yeah. Yeah, straight talking's got me in loads of trouble.
When have you been painfully honest with a partner?
I'm always painfully honest. Same. Always. Yeah. Always painfully honest. Because I can't hold things in. Because I'm a brewer. And it'll brew, and then I'll burst. And then they're in real deep shit.
So you give it to them straight?
All the time.
Is there like an example maybe that you could give me?
What's it? Well, when I'm saying about this story and this scenario that's happened with my ex, I told him all along, you know, how he was treating me and everything like that. So I've been very honest with how I feel. So, and some people don't like to know, do they? Some people don't really like to know.
Well, he wasn't sparing the horses, was he?
No.
Is he gave it to you with both barrels?
Yeah.
Seemingly.
Yeah. But if you knew my family are very, I would find it very difficult to get embarrassed. And my mum used to pick me up from school on a horse and cart. So, and like, you know, when the boy that you fancy is like, ha 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 ha,
horse and cart?
Yeah, I used to pick me up from school on a horse and cart. Because that's what she's like. She breaks horses in for a living.
Right.
Yeah, she like is a bit of a, well, I suppose she's a bit of a gypsy. Is that right to say?
Yeah. I don't know, from the travelling community?
We're so PC. She'd like to think she is, but it's so PC, the world that we live in now, isn't it?
I
would be a real difficult to embarrass me, I think. I'm.
That's actually quite good.
Yeah.
Some of the traits there.
I never cared what anyone's ever thought.
That's
ever.
Really good.
Ever. I just, you know, if it's somebody I really love or I really care about or a really good friend of mine and they thought I was being a twat, then that would really hurt. But if it's just anyone, then...
So when you went on Big Brother back in 2010, I mean, you seemed to me to be so unfiltered that you weren't aware of the fact that there were cameras on you 24/7 and, oh, how might that sound? You didn't watch yourself.
No, I don't even know how a brain functions to edit something before it comes out your mouth in the first place. It's weird, isn't it? Anybody that can think about what they're saying before it comes out, it's just...
So really, it's just direct line from your brain to your tongue?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Love that. I want you live next time. Can we do
a
live podcast?
Oh, no. Might get in trouble.
And Marlon, what about you?
Mine would be being quite opinionated on the show that kind of gave me a platform. Because people could say, hold on a minute, what are you doing? You're slating the show that, you know, gave you...
Biting the hand that feeds.
Yeah, exactly. But considering I've lost a good friend of the show and... I knew the situation that she was in at the time. And
Sophie,
not getting enough help to kind of shut me up. They've tried to get me on their side and helped produce them some aftercare content, which hasn't really worked because they're not going to shut me up.
So tell me what happened.
I just believe that the aftercare that they provided us has been absolutely awful. There's been nothing, actually. I think
it's interesting because we had Dr. Alex on a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him exactly this, and he's having therapy every week.
Yeah, they've just offered me therapy now.
Yeah, he's asked for it and he's getting it, and he asked for it as soon as he came out. But then I guess he's a doctor, right? He knew where to go to seek help. And I don't know that a lot of people entering the realms of reality TV even think that they'll need it.
No.
You know, by the time they're kicked out the other end of it.
Yeah. But I mean, when you're, say, for instance, they're going to do loads of all this aftercare support now for the 2019 contestants, they're not going to want it. They're going to get all their work. They will need it in about a year, 2 years' time when the work dries up and they don't know what to do with themselves.
Bubble bursts.
Exactly. So how about give aftercare to the 2016, 17, 18 cast and leave the 2019 for a bit? They're going to be chilling with PLT. Do you know what I'm saying? They're going to be like having all these brand endorsements and whatnot. And they need to kind of reverse their time a little bit.
So what aftercare did you get?
Nothing. They put me into Palmer Airport and that was it. And I remember Sophie Grady said, I'm trying to ask for like some support, and no one's giving me it. Countless times.
You said that.
No, Sophie Grady used to tell me. She'd ask for support and she used to get like no messages back sometimes, and there wasn't enough there for her. And like that.
She told you that?
Yeah. We used to talk quite a bit. And
but the producers would say that if... I mean, I'm just...
Yeah, she said...
Playing devil's advocate
here.
The producers would say that if somebody had got in touch and asked for help, they would never have denied
them. She used
to
tell me that she'd get in touch and she'd never get a response back. That's what she had told me. And, I mean, the support that I got, where my mum was ill or had passed away, which they'd clearly seen in the press or whatever, I didn't even get a phone call or anything. Same with when daughter passed away, I didn't get a phone call. It was only when Sophie had passed away, I got a phone call to see how I was. And it was when Mike passed away, I got a phone call. And then I got off of therapy when Mike had passed away.
How long ago had Mike been in it? Like, how long was it?
The year after me.
So he'd left 2 years, has he? Before
2 years, yes. So.
What is the help that you think would have made life easier for you and for friends like Sophie?
I think ongoing support is a must. It doesn't matter if it's a month after the show or even if it's like 2 years. I mean, they're not going to look after us like forever, are they? Until we're like 80. But I mean, in terms of when they know that they could give us maybe advice on management, finance.
Yeah.
What brands to kind of be around, the drink, the partying lifestyle, the press, the media, give us a bit of guidance on that. Because you're in an unknown world. You literally step into Palmer Airport and you're getting recognised. You're like, huh? And I remember just looking around going, oh, you know, I'm an introvert. I can have really deep conversations with people, but I'm really bad at small talk.
And none of that was there for you? Because I know, I mean, I can only speak of my own experiences of reality television. And I know when we did Pop Idol and X Factor, we had lined up, you know, whether or not this is right or wrong, but this is just the setup, a brilliant management company who provided management for the acts that would be going on to bigger things, I guess. Mm. And these were seasoned managers that had tons of experience, and there definitely was a team in place to help people. Not every contestant, you know, you had to get, you know, thousands and thousands would apply.
Yeah.
But there was something there, there was structure there.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not, you know, I could also say, you know, there was only one management option there. What about presenting people with a selection? I don't know.
I had a selection.
You did?
Yeah, but they were all in it for themselves. They didn't really care about me. They didn't care about my welfare.
Were you offered any counselling, Joes?
So when we went to Big Brother, we had we were all put through, you know, all these psychiatric tests and everything like that. But and there was somebody that we could phone, but I don't know why. I would just find it as a weakness. And I shouldn't. Yeah, I should. Yeah. I didn't even think about him. I did not even think. And I went through some terrible stuff. Like, I got death threats. I got people. It was this one guy threatened to chuck acid in my face. He found out where I lived. You know, when you're getting all that hate on social media, it was a real, real tough time. And I should have been living my best life, and I was living my darkest moment. Mm. And I wish I'd have had, like you said, a mentor
exactly.
That was not in it for any money. Mm-hmm. Just purely in it to mentor you.
So not management, not professional support.
But somebody that's not in it for anything.
Yeah, just somebody who's there for you and with your best interests and no advantage or gain for them.
Yeah,
but this is what happened a few weeks
ago. So Joseph, so you didn't get anything? Did you ask for help? Was it offered?
Well, I just would never have thought to phone him. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't even pass my mind. I definitely have it now, but back then. Yeah, I definitely have it now, but back then I would have.
You didn't see the sense in it.
And imagine
that helped.
Yeah, massively. But imagine that's a woman feeling like that. Imagine a man.
you know, when you met, yeah. you know what they're like. Yeah. They probably would see it, you know, I'm a man.
What the good news is that next year, mental health and well-being goes onto the national curriculum, so it'll be taught in schools.
Wow. Brilliant. Good.
And my son starts senior school in September, and there is a well-being centre at his school, so they have constant support and access to counsellors and a safe space to go and speak to people should they need it.
Good.
That is amazing.
That is really, really good.
So the world's progressing.
Yeah, it is. The easy way would be to go to the doctors and get a prescription. When I was in a low place, I could have just got antidepressants. But I just thought to myself, no, let me try the mindfulness and meditation and reading self-help books and do it the harder way, but the actual proper way
yeah.
of solving instead of kind of clouding your brain up with other stuff. I mean, it works for some people, don't get me wrong. But for me, that's not what I wanted.
I don't create the estrogen that I need. So I have to take medication as yeah. a hormone balance. And I wouldn't be able to get benefit from things like meditation, for example.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course.
If
yeah,
I wasn't hormonally adjusted
yeah.
medically.
Yeah.
So sometimes there is absolutely a place for yeah. medicine, but it can't be the only answer.
Yeah.
And it's probably worth saying that. But, so I would hate for somebody to be listening and thinking, well, I've just started taking, you know, something to help me. It's like, no, we're not judging.
Yeah.
It's like a diabetic taking insulin.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like sometimes people just need that.
You know, we all get hit with those things in life, but it's what you make of it, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's what
exactly.
you do with it.
100%.
It's like you get punched in life, but you're going to get back in the ring or not?
Of course you yeah. are.
We are.
You are.
Whenever I try and teach anybody the Bristolian accent, I just say, I like your socks. Have a go.
I like your socks.
It's everyone who says, I like your socks sounds like a Bristolian.
Yeah. There you
Lovely.
Go. There
Beautiful.
You go.
It's an accent that I'm stuck with. I did actually go to elocution lessons, but it just didn't work out.
Don't you dare take that beautiful accent away.
Well, you either love it or you hate it.
But in Essex,
I do clean up. The blokes love it.
I bet they
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
I bet you sound positively tropical.
Well, I've always said if when the work dies down, I'm going to open up a Bristolian sex line.
That would be brilliant.
I'm just tickling my crumpet right now.
Girls, if I could be sat here in a year's time with you, what would you like for me to be saying to you in terms of what that year has given you and brought about?
Gosh,
I think for me, I think being a good mum to Reg is the number one important thing to me. Like, and making sure he's happy and making sure I am giving him the best possible start he can ever have, because there's only me doing it. So yeah, that would be my number one. And number two is I'd like to be successful in my own right, you know, not having to rely on anybody, being fiercely independent, which I am anyway, but I really want to be a success in my own right, and I'd like to be just a really good role model, really, for Reg and, you know, anyone who follows me on social media, just a good role model. And as well, if you put a smile on somebody's face,
yeah,
you know, you've left a little imprint then, haven't you? So, yeah.
Well, you know what? You already are a good mum. You're already a success in your own right.
Thanks.
And you already put a smile on lots of people's faces.
Oh, thanks.
So, do you know what, Jo? You're exactly where you need to be.
Oh, all right. Oh, brilliant. I don't need to do anything.
No. Don't you think?
Yeah, 100%.
What about you, Marlin?
So
in a year's time, what would you like me
I
to be
saying
to you?
I want my own family. I want my own family, but I want it for the right reasons, not to kind of fill a void of loneliness, but to, like, you know,
yeah.
to just have my own family. And I also want to carry on, like, being a role model, as you said, Josie, but, like, for the right reasons and having something that fulfills me as a job and a career, and not just doing it just to get a quick bit of money. The money should flow when I'm doing something that I'm, you know, enjoying and loving.
So you do something you love, you never work a day in your life.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And I just want to carry on. I want to just make my platform bigger and bigger so more people can hear.
And where can people access the app?
So that'll be downloadable on, like, all iOS and whatnot from about, I think it's taken a few months. And I'm planning on launching it on what would have been her first birthday.
In a year's time, you'd like to be sat there watching that app do some really good work.
Yeah. And I just want to carry on. I want my platform to be even bigger. And I just want to make a difference. And I want to create a shift in the industry that I've been in, you know, and the social media aspect and what I've gone through. With a little family by my side.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to do your accent.
I think it will come. You don't need to worry about that.
Well, the accent or the family.
I'm sure there'll be lots and lots of people listening that will gain strength from what you've shared today. So thank you both very much.
Aww, thank you.
And I'd really love to have you back. If anything we've talked about on this podcast today has resonated with you, don't forget the Samaritans are always available 24/7. You can find all of their details online. The number is 116-123. That's 116-123. Or you can drop us a line and we'll be able to give you the names and details of people that might be able to help. We are whitewinequestiontime@yahoo.com, or you can contact us on Twitter at whitewineqt, Instagram at the same address, or I'm the Kate Thornton on Instagram. As always, White Wine Question Time has been produced by Caitlin Mercer for Yahoo, alongside me, Kate Thornton, and the music is provided by Andy Bell. We'll see you next week, and remember, do as we do and try to drink responsibly.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Are you ready for truly hydrated skin? Meet Hyaluronic Body Serum, a breakthrough in body care from Osea. It's clinically proven to instantly increase hydration by 161%. Their lightweight, fast-absorbing serum delivers 24 hours of nonstop hydration for silky, smooth skin without the sticky afterfeel. Osea's latest innovation combines the magic of their best-selling Hyaluronic C Serum with a new formula that's good for the whole body and 5 types of hyaluronic acid to target every layer of the skin. Osea is a woman-founded, women-led brand that's been crafting seaweed-powered products for nearly 30 years. The best part? Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.